You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Greg Bordinaro with the Hartford Business Journal joining us for the Connecticut Business Blend. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's interesting you talk about there's a piece on UConn really wanting to be recognized as a top-tier research university. At the same time, obviously, universities are under some major scrutiny right now. Tell us about the ambitions of UConn.
Yeah, so UConn's been trying to build up its research, bona fides for years now, billions of dollars in infrastructure investment and new buildings, recruiting a faculty and things like that. The sort of the holy grail of this whole effort is to be accepted into the Association of Research Universities. It's a Washington, D.C. based group. You have to be invited into this group. It includes all the Ivy League schools, 71 schools overall, all the Ivies, all the Big Ten schools, which, the Michigans of the world, the Ohio States. You know, why does UConn want to be in this group? Well, these schools get the majority of federal research funding. They also set policy on higher ed, science, and innovation. So it's a very innovative class. UConn's come a long way on the research front. In 2017, it earned about $267 million annually in research funding. It's up to about $380. UConn President Radenka Marek wants to make that $500 million by 2030. Also, they want to build up UConn wants to build up the endowment to $1 billion, of course, to fund things like research and new faculty and recruiting top students to UConn. Right now, it's about $577 million, and there's an aggressive fundraising campaign going on right now to sort of reach that goal.
Wow. Greg Bordinaro, Hartford Business Journal here with us on the Connecticut Business Blend. You know, I just saw, I think it was a Dutch company that had the stock plunged today because it had to do a stock offering because, you know, the macro solar picture in the U.S. is weak, but locally, maybe not so much.
Yeah, so, the Big Beautiful Bill, there's been a lot talked about. It's not the most friendly to renewable energy, particularly solar and wind. Other parts of renewable energy it's more favorable for, like nuclear. But for solar and wind, and we focus on what's the impact of the solar industry. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically getting rid of the 30% tax credit for both homeowners and businesses that install solar panels. For homeowners, it's going to expire by the end of this year. For businesses, by the end of next year. What we're seeing right now is solar installers and solar companies in Connecticut are saying they've seen an uptick in business over the last few months with people expecting this tax credit to go away. So there's a short-term burst in business, but longer term, there are concerns about what's the demand going to be for solar without these incentives. Now, solar installers are saying, given that Connecticut has among the highest energy prices in the United States, solar may still be a bargain. The payoff might take longer without the tax credit. Short-term gain, longer-term possibly some pain. I do think there is a broader conversation is how long, should the federal government subsidize solar? It's been going on for some time now, so I think that is a legitimate debate. The way the Trump administration has gone about it, taking it away, almost immediately is probably not the best way to do it. But, I think there is a good debate to be had about how long should the federal government incentivize solar.
Yeah. At some point, it's got to stand on its own. It's exactly. A really good point. Artificial intelligence, obviously, it's going to really have an impact on workforce and workforce development. How are we doing here in Connecticut?
Sure. And, there's obviously those are concerns about AI eliminating jobs. It certainly will, particularly entry-level jobs. The CEO of Anthropop, which is one of the big AI companies, basically said, it could eliminate half of entry-level jobs over the next 5 years. It will do that. But the bigger thing is for jobs that exist and aren't going to be eliminated by AI, I think all workers are going to have to figure out how to use it, and they're going to have to experiment with it. There was a recent survey of business leaders. 66% of business leaders said they wouldn't hire somebody without AI skills. 71% said they would hire somebody with less experience, but if they have AI skills and the other candidate doesn't. So AI skills are going to be a key to those jobs that aren't eliminated. Connecticut is kind of getting started on this front, like many states are. There was a big debate about the AI regulation bill that didn't get passed. Within that bill, though, there was funding for workforce development, and some of that got switched around where there is going to be some funding for workforce development. There's $500,000 going to an AI academy. It's going to be it's currently running by Charter Oak State University, which is a state online-only university. $200,000 is being invested to create a curriculum and resources around AI for K-12, which is going to be very interesting because I do believe that AI needs to be sort of embedded into the K-12 curriculum as well. And other funding for various AI initiatives, again, to get workers and, frankly, students and workers sort of introduced to AI and how to use it.
We're talking with Greg Bordonero of the Hartford Business Journal here on the Connecticut Business Blend. Lastly, your 40 under 40 is out. And, I mean, obviously you can't go through all of them. Is there any common threads, any people you'd like to especially highlight or talk about your criteria? I mean, I just sort of leave it to you.
Sure. So one of the interesting things about our 40 under 40 is over the last few years, it's now statewide. You know, Hartford Business Journal itself has gone statewide in our coverage. In fact, we have a reporter now in Stamford, Connecticut. So our coverage is statewide, and many of our awards are including 40 under 40. So that's one of the biggest differences you'll see in this group. They're from all over the state. A couple of politicos that are on there, East Hartford Mayor Connor Martin, who was when he was elected a year or two ago, he was the youngest mayor in East Hartford's history. He's currently 33. Max Reese, the former communications director for Governor Lamont, who is now running communications for Eversource. Dave Stuber, who is the former chief of staff to Mayor Luke Bronin. He's now chief of staff at the Department of Economic and Community Development. And, you know, there's lots of entrepreneurs in there, lots of partners at law firms and accounting firms, CEOs of companies. So it's a really diverse group of people spread out from all over the state.
Cool. I love looking at that stuff and seeing their bios and so on. And again, you can always go to hartfordbusiness.com. And subscribe as well. Greg, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.